I know death. He's got many faces. I look forward to seeing this one.
We're all going to die. But at least we die together. I'm no king, but if I were, I'd knight you 10 times over.
Arise, Brienne of Tarth, a knight of the 7 kingdoms.
Hello to all the geek enthusiasts, nerd aficionados, and those north of the wall, south of the wall. I don't know.
Around the wall, up the wall, down the wall, on the wall.
People living in the 7 kingdoms.
Yes, exactly. This is MaliceCast TV Talks, our reaction podcast where we talk about our favorite shows and react to them and give our thoughts and so forth and whatnot here on Twitch, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. But we also put these on YouTube. We put them on Stitcher. We put them on Spotify. We put them on iTunes. So if you like listening to the podcast, make sure to listen to it on your commute. Make sure to check it out elsewhere. Or if you want to be here live, join us every Sunday, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Game of Thrones podcast. We're going to do this every single week until the end of the series. So thank you for coming and checking us out. If you are here live, make sure to jump in the chat room. This is a live interactive podcast, so we do interact with what you guys have to say and get your feedback on the episode as well. So, but let's talk about who is here first to talk Game of Thrones with you. You have me, Mess5150, also joining me on the cast. She wasn't here last week. We have Super Hoovy and Freak with us. Howdy.
Hello. I'm so glad my internet's working. Yeah.
That's
apparently
a benefit.
She was actually at Game of Thrones.
Oh.
I was there live. I made it through the first part and I'm back. Winter is no longer here.
She was gonna send a crow.
I know. He got
what,
lost.
You mean a raven?
A raven.
Yeah, find a raven around here. It's a crow, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Also on our cast, we have Masonic Vader. What's up, sir?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? I'm excited. Let's talk to episode 2 and let's get this thing going. Yeah.
And also, Mind Freak.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here just to smack talk Masonic Vader. Like we do every Wednesday. What's up, everybody? I'm here. Let's have some fun.
And I apologize. I apologize. At the beginning of the episode, you were watching this and you were seeing everybody else, but you weren't seeing me talk, so you were just staring at somebody on screen. Oh, and we had another person just join us. Icy Zoro is here on the cast as well.
Go on, guys.
By the flight of the Raven.
So we have everybody here to talk Game of Thrones with you guys. So what we're going to do here, this is a episode where we've already watched it. And if you haven't and you don't want to be spoiled, then come back and listen to it later or watch it later. And you can still drop comments, like if you're watching on YouTube and stuff like that. We'll still interact with you later. But we are going to talk about what happened in the episode. It's going to be a big spoilers type of cast. There's nothing off limits type of thing. So if you don't want that, this isn't the cast to watch right now, but I have a feeling a lot of people have already watched the episode due to the factor that apparently it was leaked like 4 days ago or something. So I don't know.
I watched when episodes got leaked in previous seasons. This one, I'm not doing it.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I don't blame you. But yeah, so this is season 8, episode 2. It is the final season. It is the second episode. We got all of our family reunions last episode. This time we get our non-family reunions for the most part. I'm going to throw 2 things at you guys real quick. One, I'm going to tell you clearly what the name of this episode should have been. And that was season 8, episode 2, so many deaths being set up. Because
yes, absolutely.
Okay. So to cross nerdums, who was wearing a red shirt tonight?
Oh God.
Everyone. Everyone's all like, oh, what should we do when we're alive at the end of this? Let's make plans. Yeah. On any other show, Oh, you're dead. Oh, and you're dead. Oh, you're dead too. But it's Game of Thrones. So yeah, they're all dead anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody is safe. Hey,
one person made a plan for after he died, and that was Tyrion. He has a plan for when he becomes a White Walker. So.
I approve that message.
And that's it's so much potential foreshadowing with that. So
yeah,
especially since it's the one brother that's supposed to be the death of her, and like there's so much. We'll get to that. But what the real name of the episode? So what HBO has done so far each week, they have not released the actual episode name until the episode is airing. So I don't know if you guys looked at it or not, but I want to know. If you have a guess, what do you think that the actual name was of this episode was this week? And I'll tell you what I got, and I'm hoping it's right that I didn't get the wrong information from somebody. I don't actually
know. Was it called Reunions at Winterfell?
No, I mean, okay, we'll make it simpler. Last week's episode was called Winterfell.
Winterfell High.
It was just called Winterfell. So it has something that pertains to what happens in the episode. I think the biggest moment of the episode is what I think.
Arya gets some.
Oh, wait. Well, yeah, that too. What is it called? Knighting at Winterfell?
A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Mm. Oh, I was close.
Yeah. Knight.
So, that's what I saw looking up online for it. So,
and I just confirmed it. Yeah, it's a Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Okay.
Cool. And there he goes, throwing in 5 seconds later. There's the quick guy there. Good job, buddy.
But he's like, I wasn't sure, but this is what I saw, and I just looked on the HBO app. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So just to verify.
Yeah, because I went and got it before it was popped up on HBO. I went and got it from the wiki app for the episode name, and that's what I was like, because when they first leaked the episode, everybody said that the name of the episode was The Rightful Queen, and I'm like, that name doesn't make sense with this episode whatsoever. So. I had to go.
Is it a Knight at the Seven Kingdoms, like a Knight in the Knight at the Museum? in which case, all the things that aren't supposed to be alive come to life after dark.
Or like about One Night in China or something like that.
No, that's a different kind of movie.
Oh Lord! Yeah, we're not going there.
Oh man.
Okay. Yeah. So definitely not going. Yeah. Okay, let's talk. So we break this down, we go scene by scene, we talk react, we talk about, you know, what our favorite things were with what happened and stuff like that. So the episode opens up with Jaime basically on trial for everything that he's done and been a part of, and Danny is letting him have it. Danny is like, I've been told stories about you and how you killed my father, and go ahead.
Oh, I said family. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the funny thing is like, we get the first time that Sansa comes on board with Danny, and they're like both buddy buddy all of a sudden going after Jaime. And Brienne, the first time we get to see Brienne talk this season, is not hearing any of it and comes to Jaime's side. And so, talks about how Sansa would be dead if not for Jaime, because he saved Brienne, and he is a man of his word, because he, despite everything that happened, he stuck to his word when it had to deal with Sansa's mom. So, mm-hmm. And just as we're getting that little bit of connection between Dany and Sansa, they decide to go separate ways on it, and Dany does the throw John under the bus thing, where it's like, what do you think? Like, mm-hmm. Here's your love versus
Babe,
your family.
Are you gonna let
which
her talk
one are you going
to
go
like
with?
That, or...
yeah.
Why doesn't your family like me, babe? Like, seriously.
Well, and it sort of starts a trend of that Sansa has throughout the episode of like, hey, you did terrible stuff to me. I forgive you.
Seriously.
The people that live at Winterfell have got to be like... Yeah, the people that live in Winterfell have got to be thinking like, hey, she just forgives everything. Let's commit all the crimes.
And Jack Malice joins us in the chat room and says, Night of the Living Dead. I don't know if that was his title name for the episode, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Either that or he's just describing us. Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
I like the first part of that. I liked how they introed with that. Mm-hmm. The
the tension in the room, everything that's going on, Tyrion jumping in and throwing in his two cents. There was a lot of, like, right off the bat, that's how the episode opens up. I mean, obviously, it's almost how the last one ended. But it just comes right out the beginning, and it's like you can take that freaking sword and cut it with a knife. I mean, it was a really good intro. That set up, I think, to me, one of the better episodes I've seen in the entire series.
Well, I mean, this is the thing, is what they've done these last couple seasons, when they ran out of the source material that they had from George R. R. Martin, and once that happened, they went, yeah, we're just putting pedal to the metal and we're going. And so now every episode, especially this season now, you get Jamie introduced right at the end and they're right into it, immediate. What's, you know, there's no like, let's go grab him and let's pull him. And, you know,
there's not enough time left. They just,
yeah.
No fluff. So, no fluff.
Two things. One, Ruru 2 in the chat, I guess his name for the title is Death by Snoo Snoo. Little Futurama throwback right there.
That's what Tormund wants, yeah.
Yes. and second, you know, it's exactly that. You know, they're all sitting around here and they're like, well, you've done this. Like, why have you done it because of this? Or why have you done it with this? And everyone's like, you know, try to speculate, you know, why Jaime did what Jaime did. And Bran was the one that said it. He did it for love.
Yeah.
And really what it comes down to, yeah, he did it not only for the love of his family, but also, like, you know, the love of his honor, the love of who he is as a man, and that love that he has for Brienne, that's there. So it's the fact that, you know, they're spewing off all this random stuff, like, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? You know, this and that. And it's like, no, it comes down to it. It's love. It's love that Jaime has for his family, for the people around him, that kind of thing. That speaks volumes to it, and that kind of sets up to stuff later on in the episode, which I know we'll get to.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Bran speaks up.
And it's kind of a double barb, you know. It's yeah, he loved his family, and that's why he did it. Also, you remember what you said before you threw me out of the tower?
Yeah, exactly. It did harken back to the pilot episode.
Yeah, here a couple minutes, I think, and in a couple scenes here.
Well, and then the factor that, like, Jaime brings up. I think the big dagger where it was like, hey, I am a man of my word, is he brings it up to Danny and he's like, Cersei was lying. Cersei's not coming. She was lying from the get-go. And she's like, well, then why are you here? And he's like, I am a man of my word. I said I would fight for the living, and that's what I did. I came on my own, knowing he was going to be thrown in the fire going there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, I think Jaime's a fascinating character. I know we've talked a little bit about this before, maybe even in the main cast. But Jaime's a fascinating character because you get to watch his transition from obviously evil, crazy dude to, like, keeping his word and caring about people. And I don't know. Nobody's the villain in their own story, but it's kind of fun to have watched him realize he's been the villain in other people's stories.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the factor, too. Like, going back to where Danny threw John under the bus to make his decision, then John went against her, and you could see the shock on her face. Like, she didn't expect that. And So who does she turn and end up backlashing for it? She goes right at Tyrion, just like, if you want to be the hand of the king, you're a moron, you know, just like,
yeah.
Like,
I'll find somewhere else if you can't do it, you know?
She's got a little bit of the Targaryen temper.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, just a smidge. But speaking of smidge, what about smithing, which is what we get to next, and that's Gendry and Arya, and he's still smithing away. And the looks that she's
just watching him get all sweaty.
Oh, I know. The sweaty Gendry that she's just like,
like, she gave a tiny little eyebrow twitch, and I was like, oh yeah, they're doing it.
it was almost like Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and the little making the clay pot kind of thing in the medieval time.
That's funny. You went clay pot. You said Patrick Swayze, and I went Chris Farley and the.
I'm watching through Community on the side too. I just watched that episode. No ghosting, my little blueberries.
A couple things mentioned in the chat room. Jack says it feels like they are rushing everything because of how quick they're going with this. Polyview says he was not expecting a nude area. And Ruru too, okay. Gendry looks so much like Christian Bale.
He looks like when Christian Bale is skinny Christian Bale, yeah.
It's skinny, yeah.
Like Machinist
Christian Bale. Club,
or yeah, exactly, Machinist.
Not program. Not quite Machinist skinny, but close.
I'm gonna bring this point up that's said in the chat room really quick because it was something that I was gonna point out to when we get to it later. But talking about the nude scene with Arya, Jack says that felt strange. Was like watching your little sister nude, and that's exactly how seeing Arya grow up in this series, and then it was like, I don't want to see this.
You know what? No. The best way I could describe that. The best way I could describe that is this: you're sitting there, and you're at home, and you're checking out that one magazine that every guy sees, and then you go to the centerfold and read all about the centerfold, and you find out that they were born the year you graduated in high school. Oh, that's horrible, man.
Well, no, this is a factor that you've seen this character go from
being considered to look like a
little boy to, you know.
It'd be like
Yeah.
It'd be like watching that centerfold's home movies, and then
oh man.
So since it was already brought up, and I guess we're going to be talking about this scene too. There's a lot of significance in this scene though with Arya. Yes, I know everything, like all that stuff, like it's because we watched her grow up in the show. But it's the fact that everything that she's gone through, everything that she's experienced, and she even kind of showed that off a little bit in that second scene where she throws the knives at the wall and they're all like right in that tight group together. We've seen her experience all the stuff, you know, and you know she's a heightened killer. She's an assassin. She's part of the many faces. But yet at the end of it, you know, we still understand. Yeah, she's a girl. She wants to experience stuff like that too. And the fact that there's that connection that she has with Gendry makes it a lot more just like, all right, sweet, you know, like, yeah, it was tough to watch, but at the same time, like, finally, you know,
like, I was just like, yeah, get it, girl, go for it. I was proud of her. I was like, she saw what she wanted, and she was like, that is mine now.
Well, and that's the thing. That's where Arya has gotten to. She's gotten to that point, like, when she wants what she wants, that's, you know, this whole thing that starts up, like, she goes in there, she gave him a paper for her weapon, and she's like, is my weapon done? And he's like, well, no, I got to complete all these first. And she's like, well, make mine, make it better than this and get it done. Like, she's just like, I want this done, get it done. And then she asks about the White Walkers and his response is they're bad. They're really bad. And she's like, no, no, no. What do they smell like? What do they look like? Like she's very just, there's a line that she's going to, and she just wants to get directly to that line. Just that's what her point of focus is.
Well, we got a lot of people that the group was trying to protect today. A lot of people being told were going to be in the crypts when the fight came, and Gendry thought that Arya was going to be one of those. And it's funny remembering the other characters in this story have not seen her evolve. They just see her as the younger Stark sister.
Yeah, mm-hmm. His last memory of her was, you know, the prison. You know, when they were all captains together. And then she gets to show off her skills a little bit when she's like, yeah, okay, I know what death is. You want to talk about death? Let's talk about death. And she's flinging the knives. And, he's like,
she's a medieval girl. She's medieval times of hit girl, man. That's what she is.
Yeah. Awesome. In the chat for the second time, the line that she says, she's like, I'm not the Red Priestess, now take your clothes off kind of thing. She's just like...
It's just take off your own damn pants.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, this cast, in terms of the chat room, has become the Gendry Arya scene. There's too many good points here to bring that I can't, like, wait to try and get to
later.
Yeah,
I'm seeing it too. Yeah,
so, a couple things. Robin Ned's kids having a kid... I didn't even think about that factor.
And then, you know, Aegon Targaryen's kids having kids with Aegon Targaryen's kids.
Yeah, but what Jack says
since Jack's bringing that, that kind of goes to a flashback of the pilot. Like, I have a son, you have a daughter, let's join houses.
Yeah.
They join houses.
The other thing that Jack brings up with that, if they had a kid together, Gendry and Arya, their kid would be an amazing warrior with unbreakable resolve and a code of honor unbreakable. Yeah,
they can make their own weapons.
Yeah. To which I responded, yes, so Ned Stark. Exactly what Ned Stark was. I love it.
Yeah, and Sansa was supposed to marry Joffrey, so that's true. But Joffrey, we all know, wasn't a Baratheon. And everybody knew. So.
Yeah, it sounded like he had some bad pie or something like that. Choke on chicken pie or whatever. It was horrible.
Pigeon pie. And it's pigeon delicious. Pie, it's delicious. That was my theme for tonight for the Game of Thrones watch, was we did pigeon pie tonight, and it was delicious. It was made with Cornish game hen, not actual pigeon, but it was delicious. Okay. And it wasn't poison, so I'm still here. Yes. So moving on. So we had Jaime and Bran come against each other, and basically Jaime asked Bran, why didn't you tell them what happened? And he's like, because it set everything in motion and there's no point to it now. He's not who he is. Bran's not who he is. And, you know, bygones are bygones, basically.
And, on that point, though. I want to say that this week has been a wonderful week of seeing memes with the stare down, the death stare. God, man, I have laughed so many times. I've seen the death stare.
Was it one of you guys that was telling me the reason that that actor has such a creepy stare? Someone was talking to me about it. Yeah. Bran is super
blind because they won't let him wear his glasses. That's why his stare looks the way it is. He can't see squat when he's acting.
Yeah. I read that. That was great.
Yeah.
Contacts or something?
No, my wife told me about it today. She's like, do you know why he stares like that? And I'm like, no. I'm like, method acting? She's like, no, they will not let him wear his glasses.
They won't.
Crazy.
Which makes sense, because I don't think glasses were obviously a big thing in that time. But
no, they
would have him in contacts or something. But no, but it works for his character. It lends that, you know, creepy factor that you should have if you're
Bran the Builder, if he's connected to Bran the Builder, he can build himself some glasses if he could build that wall, man.
I mean, apparently they created a wheelchair in medieval times. I mean,
he's basically Maester Aemon the Younger now.
Yeah.
Can't walk, can't see, just sitting around being wise.
We get Tyrion and Jaime talking, and Tyrion goes straight to the point. So we're going to die in Winterfell. Talks about the whole thing. Like, if I become a White Walker, at least maybe I can go kill Cersei as after I die. Like I said, to that, is that foreshadowing? I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think that was a potential foreshadow, or are we still sticking to the point of that she's going to die in childbirth and it's going to be Jaime, because it's still going to be the small brother killing her if she dies in childbirth, because it would technically be her brother still.
Well, I like the one point he made before that, though, where he sat there and said, all of our lives we've been trying to defeat Winterfell, and now at the end of our life we're actually defending it, which I thought was a cool little point they threw in there as well. As far as foreshadowing, I after watching all this and everything, I'm not even going to try to foreshadow at this point. It's everything's just kind of getting twisted and turned, and I this last season is going to be crazy, man. I might actually grow hair
and then rip it out because of how crazy it is.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as foreshadowing is going, I keep on looking back towards things that have been said in the past. You know, you're talking about the Maggie the Frog prophecy, her little brother would kill her. You know, I keep on trying to think of if there was anything Mary Mazdoor said to Dany that would indicate, like, you know, if she was going to get healthy again and be able to have kids, or if that was going to Cersei in any way.
She did have the thing. It was like, what is it when the winds blow from the opposite direction?
Yeah.
And the sun rises from the, you know, instead of in the east, it rises in the west. Then your womb will quicken and you can have children again.
Yeah, because these showrunners and these writers are clever enough to be, I think, to be able to go back and tie up all the previous loose ends. I mean, I feel like this end was planned, unlike Lost.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I just, it was interesting the way that they brought it up that way. So.
Oh yeah, no, I'm still. I hope that's not the case where he walks down there as a White Walker, because I want him to live to the end.
Well, the only reason we want it is we want Arya to be the one that kills Cersei. But I mean, like I said, if you go based off of the prophecy, it would end up being one of her brothers, whether it's through childbirth, being a brother, or Jaime, or Tyrion.
Well, could could she take the face of one of them, or is that cheating?
Ooh. I think it's cheating, but that's what a lot of people think. They think that it's going to be Arya taking a fate. Yeah, I think.
Prophecy in fantasy books is always super subject to interpretation, so I can see. Yeah. Cool.
How cool would it be, though, to see Tyrion just jump up onto the bed and just start slicing her up?
Just flips around like Master Yoda.
Yeah, Master Yoda.
But where the scene continues to is following Jaime going out and seeing Brienne still training Podrick, and I love that, like, Podrick's gotten quite a bit better at his skills, and Brienne's still like, he's okay. He's still got a lot to learn.
A true master. Absolutely.
Yeah, Podrick looks great at sword work, but he's fighting against, you know, farmers.
Well, I
interpreted that as, like, he was training them to fight.
Yeah. And then Ruwatu still says it'll be Jaime with the bow that killed Dad on the toilet. And Polyphius thinks Jaime mercy kills Cersei. So,
as long as it's with the gold hand.
Just clock. Just
crash. And good night. Bonk.
But
they had a He-Man character. And I was like,
Kung Fu grip, yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, Jaime confronts Brienne about, like, you know, he's talking to her all nice, and I love Brienne's reaction. Was like, what is going on? What is, like, why we have never talked this long, and you haven't insulted me yet? Like, this is not, I love that she's so aware of their dynamic that it's like,
yeah.
She calls him out on it immediately, and I love Jaime's response to it, where he's talking about, like, wanting to follow her, that he's not the fighter that he used to be, that he would love to be following her. And what I wrote down before the ship that I want to happen, but I wrote down was Jaime no longer a fighter, but for Brienne, he's a lover.
Yeah.
Cause
the smooth sounds of the Lannister bedside.
Yeah. Cause that's
what Brienne is like, you know, everyone's fighting for her right
She's
now.
She's the belle of the ball.
Yeah, you got Jaime fighting for her. You got the Wild King fighting for her. You know, I mean, geez, man.
I like to think she told us a story both in the book and the show of how she kind of got carried before, you know, like she had all the guys fighting over her and it turned out as a giant joke. And now, like, you know, essentially the leader of the Wildlings and the Kingslayer, the former, you know, head of the Kingsguard is after. They're both after. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
And you can tell which one she's leaning towards.
Clearly. She likes the pretty boys.
Yeah. It is so funny how just Tormund will go on and on. She's just like, yep. And walks away like, all right.
Man, I'm sure that would be one crazy scene if the Wild King.
She is just playing hard to get, is what she's doing.
Because Tormund can lay it on thick, you know, he's like, is the big woman here still? Like, when he also, like, practically tackles John.
Yeah, and
that
and,
one, yeah, got, I mean, like a flying side tackle.
Exactly. The next scene that we got was Dany talking to Jorah. Jorah telling her that she made the right decision by making Tyrion the Hand, and that one more thing, which is clearly that she needs to go talk to Sansa because that's what she does. And once again, every single time that they start, like, kind of finally looking like, okay, we're gonna get things pieced together, something gets thrown in the wrench. When Dany brings up about Cersei, that you knew Cersei, that you're a fool for thinking, you know, and Sansa straight up tells Dany the same thing, you're a fool for to trust Cersei. Dany, you see her, like, she, talking about the Targaryen anger, you see for a second, she's about to snap, and then she just, like, gulps it back in, just like, I'm okay, we need to talk, we need to get this all figured out for Jon. Which we learn because John is the issue. And
I was amazed to hear Dany say that she loved him. Wow. That was
That's the thing, is for Sansa, John's the issue because he's in love with Dany. For Dany, John's the linchpin because that's why she's doing all this. It's he is the holding this all together.
she put it in a really good way, because Sansa accused her, or someone accused her, of manipulating Jon, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then so, she's like, last episode, wait yeah. a minute, I gave up my objective to be here for him. So who's really manipulating who in this scenario? Jon unintentionally is, because of her feelings. So, and then that kind of shut Sansa up.
He must be really good with that bastard sword.
Well, Ruru too thought Dany was going to ask Sansa to be her hand when she went in there, and I think maybe that would have gotten things to smooth over a little bit more, but when she brought up that I'm still going to take the Iron Throne, that's where the big wrench got thrown in again, because Dany didn't, you know, it was like, hey, what about the North? And we've already said we're not going to serve anybody else, and Dany didn't give an answer, and I love that, like, somebody walked in right in the middle of that, and you could tell Dany was just like, what? Don't, what? Don't. This is the wrong time.
That happens to her a couple of times this episode.
Real quick
thought on Sansa being the hand. Her and Tyrion could be a husband and wife hand team.
Good God. Are they still
married? They're kind of still married, right?
Yeah.
I have so many bad jokes to go that direction. I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah.
So, but I did. If you guys didn't notice, though, that there was the Dany putting her hand on her hand, trying to make that sister connection and everything. And in a minute, we're not bowing to anybody anymore. That thing came off faster than, you know.
And that's what I meant, is like every single time that you see like a little bit of a connection going and going, hey, maybe these two can finally work it out, something happens. This entire episode. Yeah.
They've got a nice smooth road with a bunch of really big speed bumps on it, apparently.
So there's something that kind of glossed over too. Was when she was talking to Ser Jorah in that scene before she goes to talk to Sansa, where she's like, you know, am I an idiot for making Tyrion my hand? Mm-hmm. And Jorah, who's always, you know, kind of been wish-washy with Tyrion, is like, no, he's smart, leave him there, kind of thing.
Yeah, that was his job before he got sick and everything, got kicked out and everything. So.
I still think Jorah's still trying to play a little bit of a game with Dany. I don't think he's... 'cause,
agreed.
Yeah. So... I think he wants Tyrion to fall on his face, but at the same time, he knows that he's going to keep her making the right decisions, but you know, he wants to win out both ways.
Yeah. So. It's a win for him. Tyrion is greater to support him, or Tyrion fails and well, he's there to back him up.
Yeah, exactly. And then we get to one of the big powerhouse moments of this episode, and Polyfuse already brings it up, but Theon returning and Sansa running up to embrace him. Like, my wife, when it happened, she's like, oh.
So did I.
Well,
same.
And the biggest impact of this was that what I wrote down is Theon's returning to his family to fight with his family, not by blood, but by bond. I mean, they were his brothers and sisters. That was his blood family was not his family. So the fact that he's willing to stand up for them and come back and
after what he did.
And do the, like, hey, I will put myself in the line of fire. Hey, I took this place from you. Let me help you get it back. You know, like
I kept on waiting.
Awesome.
I kept on waiting for him to say, he says, my sister went to defend the Iron Man. She says, why are you here? I kept on wanting him to say, I wanted to fight for my home.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly we know it, because we saw in the last episode was that it was like, you are my queen. We have made you my queen. I will do what you say. And Yara saw it in his face. She's like, you want to help Winterfell. Like, go help, you know, so he didn't say it, but we got to see it. So
out of all the reconnects, I want to say that was probably the most emotional reconnection. Like, you saw everybody, like, in the last couple episodes and everything, you've seen everyone coming back to Winterfield and everyone's giving hugs and everything and all that fun stuff. But this was the first time where not only was there a strong embrace, but there was also a lot of emotion attached to that as well. That I thought was the best part about it, because...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, to go along with that, it's, you know, the emotion-filled jam-packed of it, and I didn't mean to cut you off, Vader. I was just like, but the emotion filled part of it, you know, because of what they've been through together in Winterfell just last season, the season before with Ramsay and all that stuff. So to see that, like, you know, just coming, you know, coming out more, that how closely those two are, it makes it even better.
Well, the closeness of that, but once again, This is Theon coming back to help them. And you can tell that. You can tell by his pot. It's not Reek. It's not, you know, this is for the first time. And she kept asking him for help when he was Reek back in Winterfell before. And he was a beaten dog. And now that it's actually Theon, you know, his mind is pretty much starting to get set right. That's where the huge impact of this is. So, because we all know what Theon was. Theon was a playboy that, like, really was a, you know.
Guru's got the answer for that one.
And that's exactly what I wrote. He did. He found his balls again. He's not the only Greyjoy with no balls. So,
like, what they say, like, they were saying in an earlier episode, like, a ghost kind of hand or something. He apparently found his ghost balls. And he feels them swaying in his jocks.
Okay, I'm gonna skip over the Davos scene really quick. It's a touching little nice cute scene with Gilly and stuff, but I want to jump right up to the reaction that we talked about before of Tormund and the survivors of the wall and Jon, and just
did that big lady show up?
Tormund is the MVP of this episode, in my opinion. I loved him so much in this episode. What I wrote was this is it. I'm no longer calling them bear hugs. They are straight up Tormund hugs from here on out. Anytime somebody, the way he tackled John.
That meme of the face he gave her when they were sitting on horseback, and he's, you know, staring at her all happy and creepy from like a season ago. Yeah. His entire performance tonight was that meme.
Yeah.
Yep. You know. God, the best part about this scene is when the hobbits spoke up and said they carry the. Oh wait, wrong show. Sorry. it was seriously the Fellowship of the Ring right there. Just happened right there. I was like, oh my gosh, come on, you guys couldn't do it some way different. Nope. But it was cool though, kind of seeing everyone getting in there. The whole you can have half a cup, and he's like pouring all the wine that's spilling over, and
you're
jumping way ahead. We haven't gone there yet, man.
I thought that's where we were at.
Where they first came across each other, where they first saw it, and John ran up and in the courtyard.
And then you had my bad, sorry.
Then you had Tyrion and Bran talk, and then you had the first here we are going to set up that people are going to die in this battle with Missandei and Grey Worm talking about what do you want to do after this? Do you want to live together and get old here or go try? And I'm like,
buy a camper. We're going to buy a camper and drive around to all the league baseball parks.
I'm gonna buy a Starbucks.
But I mean, obviously the obvious choice to die would be Grey Worm. I mean, he's the one out on the front line fighting. You know,
here's
he's
the
also
sad
a total
thing.
Badass.
Because once again, what do you expect? Yes, the people that are out there are the ones that are most likely to die. But the one that's going to hit harder
is
if they get into the crypts and kill everybody that's down in the crypts. And I could see that happening.
I could see that happening. That would be completely and utterly in line with everything that they've done.
And the only reason I can see that happening is Varys will be in the crypts, and we're still counting the days because we know Varys is dying for sure because he's already been told he dies.
Who? Varys. Oh, right.
So, the Red Woman told him. So.
Well, that makes me sad for the awesome little half Scarface girl. She was red.
Yeah,
she was.
To see her fight. Yeah. But yeah, no, I still think Grey Worm's the more likely candidate to end up dying amongst these two. So for at least the next episode. Then we get to John and Sam, and the best part of the John and Sam scene up on the wall is there's a ghost sighting. There was a ghost.
Yes, there was. I wasn't crazy. Okay.
So
I missed it.
Yeah. Ghost is standing behind Sam. Ghost is standing there behind Sam, the entire scene, just standing there.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Like a ghost.
Like an actual ghost, huh? I have to go back and watch it now.
Yeah.
No, he was waiting his turn to do the clay pot scene.
Yes.
From Ghost.
And then Sam tries to have a backbone. John tells him to stay behind. Sam talks about why you need... The best part about this scene is him just talking about, like, you need me out there. and I can't remember the character's name, but the other guy from The Wall, and it's just like, oh God, help us if that's the truth.
Dolores Samuel Ed.
Slayer of the first White Walker, reader of books,
lover of ladies. Don't forget that.
Dolores Ed, yeah.
Dolores Ed, sorry, yeah, not Dolores. Dolores.
Oh, he's a robot.
He is.
And but then, yeah. Just to let you go, Masonic Vader, then we get to the fellowship scene. Then we get to the let's sit down and drink and get drunk around the fireplace and Tormund looking as giddy like, can be.
Yeah.
I have never seen Tormund look as giddy as he did in that entire scene. Like, he looked like a little kid that was just like...
He comes in, he's like,
hey, how's it going?
Oh, he tried the whole, didn't he try the whole last night on Earth thing on her? And she was just like...
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, so I do want to say that was the... I think that was the original bar pickup line that he tried to use. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is the last night in the world, and man... I don't want to go out without having fun.
Okay. Apparently, it can only work for this episode. It worked for Arya, it didn't work for him.
And then it goes back and tries the old classic, hey, well, they call me Dragonsbane, you know, why? And that didn't work. And then he chugs it away.
And spills it all over his chin.
Full of giant breast milk, is that the thing? Because... That was a weird story, man.
That's what it looked like. The sucked on the teeth for 4 months.
Yeah, that was weird.
Trying to call me Giant Spade.
That was weird.
So you're the king killer?
Yeah, some call me that.
They call me Giant Spade because you're going to need a really soft bra after a while. Like I said, I got like a serious, like, these were the misfits at summer camp that all snuck out of their captain's fire.
Well, and I love that Brienne's Brienne's the one trying to keep everybody in like, okay, no, I'm not going to drink. Oh, Podrick will only have half a cup. And then like Tyrion's like overfilling the cup.
Exactly.
Don't show mother.
Everybody else in the background, like shots.
So, I love the camaraderie that's happening there.
Polyfuse.
And then you get
Jamie knighting her.
Since it falls within this category, it does come later, but since it falls within this category of this group, I'm going to get to that right now because that, you guys were talking about, you know, getting a little bit of a tear, like Polyfuse talked about getting a little bit of a tear when he saw the Sands of Theon thing. Look on Brienne's face when she got knighted. And everything.
And how long it took her to realize he was being serious.
Yeah.
She's like, stop messing with me. That's not funny. Yeah. Stop it.
You know, I could take your other hand off right now. You know?
Well, it kind of felt like the two of them were dueling because Tormund had the line, like, if I were king, I'd knight you 10 times over. And then Jamie was like,
Hold my arm. We had this conversation. Do you know? You know, it was awesome. The only thing I'm going to push back on is right at the very end, the smiling reaction. That's the first time I think we've really seen Brienne smile the entire time, or at least a real smile. And. Yeah, cool and everything. That's probably what would happen. But oh my gosh, that character to me for the entire series has been just like the secret one you really want to like because of the fact that she's a woman and she's kicking everyone's ass, including Dog's ass. She's just doing it all, right? And that smile just kind of threw it off for me a little bit. I wanted her to have the single tear, the kind of like, I'm proud. And she goes in and it's kind of like Nacho Libre.
Well, no, I think that's the big thing of it is that you would expect her to, stand strong and proud, but she broke. It's human. It's showing that emotion, her to smile like that. And of all the people to knight her, the person that she stood up for, the person that saved her life, the person that she's gone through a lot of issues with, that's where that smile came from. And I think that was the perfect reaction because... I think if
we would... I want to know what Super thinks because I personally I think that this whole season and the way that this is ending up right now is fantastic for women. How many women are in charge? Women are taking positions of kick-ass power. I'm really kind of like, but I want to know what Super thinks about that.
About this scene in particular, we'll talk about Arya's growth of character, reminding herself that she's a woman. This was Brienne's scene. This was her childhood dream that's been denied to her whole life because of her body parts, and she finally gets it. How is she not going to smile? That was her little girl. That was the little girl getting the pony as an adult. That was the little girl getting the rainbows or the unicorns or the whatever.
That was that little girl getting to join the football team. Let's be clear.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was no way that it wasn't going to come out in the form of a smile or you know, a hug or something like that, you know, and then to get it from the person that at one point you did despise. Like, I mean, her and Jamie despised each other at the beginning, you know, and to see that and to see his growth, because I don't think he would have ever done that at the beginning of the series. He never would have even considered doing that. So it was a moment of growth for the both of them.
Yeah. And that's my wife said the same thing when it happened. She's like, you know, you go, girl, break that ceiling. It's exactly what my wife said as soon as it happened. So, Ruru 2 brings up, what if Jamie tried the last night on Earth line on Brienne? And I think we all agree that, yeah, he would have. Yeah.
I think a couple people realizing that already happened.
Back in 3. If I'm not. Someone
would
be get thrown for the tower.
Well, did it already happen between them back like season 3?
No.
Yeah, I thought so.
Nothing happened, but there was tension.
It was after they got there. I'm pretty sure it happened.
Somebody double check that for us. Let us know.
I'll fact check it.
They hot tubbed together once.
But they never. There's never been any kind of connection. Yeah. Being the guy, I'm the one who's actually seen that season in the last week.
There's been a connection, just not that like physical connection. But yeah. There's definitely a connection between those two. So, and that's what Polly's. Yeah, no, they have not had intercourse. So, So a couple of the other big thing that I liked about this scene as well was Tyrion talking about, like, I think we'll win. I think we could win this. And like actually counting off all the surviving, what battles they survived and all that. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Just getting that, like, this is what, now 7 years of our life watching this, and you know, even for us to recall back all those battles and the different stories, and even if you were reading the books before this series came out, you know, it's a nice little, like, I felt like that was like a nod to the fans as well, to be like, hey, recall all this stuff that these characters came from, that made you grow to like Davos. Going back to Davos when he first showed up on the ship, his character was okay, but what he is now is like one of my favorite characters, and it's because of that growth that you've seen, you know. So, that was what I liked.
So. Yeah, the only person missing from that group that's survived uncountable battles in really odd fashion is Sam, like he said earlier.
The character we honestly thought would not make it.
Yeah, right? Like, I picked up a lucky rabbit's foot back in season 1. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. We get Arya and the Hound up on the wall, which once again, great scene. The best part about the scene is when the sermon almost happens, when the Hound is just
Beric
like
Eric Dondarrion.
Yeah, he's like, don't be coming up here giving me that sermon, the Lord of Light sermon.
The Lord of Light will have to wonder why he brought you back 19 times onto this earth if I was just going to throw you over this wall here.
And then Arya's response with, like, when they're like, where are you going? She's like, I'm not going to waste my possible last day on earth with you, Sad.
He's miserable. Like, shit.
What was funny is when he was walking up, the Hound looks at her like, wasn't he on your list? She's like, yeah, at one point.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Yeah,
I really felt like she was going to throw the hashtag Arya out.
Oh, good Lord. See, I thought she was only like 18, 19. Polly just brings up going into that scene, which is the Gendry Arya scene. And when I finally saw what her weapon was, which I didn't know what it was by the picture. I couldn't figure it out because it looked like it was like a detached...
It was just like a short-hafted spear or something?
It's a bow. It's like a bow staff slash spear. It's she's swinging it around like a bow staff, but it's got the pointed edges of a spear on it, so... And
I wonder if it's got like a chain in it, so you can start nunchucking with it.
Oh, you remember how much time she spent training with the staff when she was blind. So
yeah, she's phenomenal with it, and so I want to see her running through White Walkers with that thing. That's going to be an awesome thing to see. But they have their little sex scene, and I'll let you guys get more into detail on it. But she's 22 now. I thought she was only like 18, 19. So she's grown a lot. I remember that.
Like, were you supposed to explain this like some kind of a sex novel?
No. I mean, the like you guys said, your favorite line of the night was what Super was bringing
up. I'm not the red woman. Take off your own bloody pants.
Yeah,
that was funny. That was so funny.
And just for that brief moment, though, too, when she lifted her shirt and there was those two big ass scars, and you could see him like looking at him like, oh crap, she's actually done some work, you know? It's like, she's a badass. Don't mess with her.
Let me bring up this comment really, really quick. Esper87 joins us in the chat room and has a great theory, and I want to know what you guys' thoughts. It says, Jaime is going to die in Brienne's arms. She uses Widow's Wail to kill White Jaime, and she wails like a widow.
Aww. That would be really sad. I could see it happening.
That's a good theory. I could honestly see that happening.
Yeah, that would kind of rip me out a little bit, I think, man. That'd be rough.
I think we can all agree Jamie's not likely to make it, right?
No, I don't think Jamie's making it.
I don't think so.
I officially say that Esper87 needs to come back every week.
Just when and how is he going to go? Like, what's going to bring the most impact?
He's going down a hero for sure. That's Jamie's dying a hero. And from what we're getting...
And Polly's still waiting to see if there's going to be a White Walker Hodor.
Oh, no. Even though that happened a couple of years, that still hurts.
Hey, I'm still waiting for them to make some kind of cool weapon to take the golden glove off of Jaime, and it's some kind of like dragon.
Oh yeah, he's got Ulysses Claw's arm from Black Panther.
Come on, he's got a sword in one hand and some crazy ass dragon glass weapon in his right hand. That'd be awesome. Or stub, excuse me.
I think it was you that brought it up last week, Mind Freak, but you got what you were asking, and it was how is Jorah going to respond to Lyanna, you know, being in the same house. Yeah, and we saw Jorah.
We did.
Jorah got smacked down by Lyanna.
I love that actress. I don't know her name, but she is amazing.
Ever since they first showed her, I'm like, yes. I want her on the throne.
So, once again, we said this episode is the setup of deaths. Is Lyanna dying in this battle?
I don't know. I don't think so. But is Jorah dying in this battle?
God, I hope not. The fact that he got the sword from Sam, he's gonna go out. He's gonna be a badass with that sword.
Hartsbane has to get back to Sam somehow.
I really hope either one of them die.
Rumors all she's dead, and then he goes,
I'm hoping that Lyanna will be an ally and help set up the new regime going forward at the end. Fingers crossed.
I don't want that ending. Come on. The youngest one is the future kind. I don't want to see
Ruru
that.
Ruru 2 says, she dead, he dead.
She's so good. I don't even care if it's a shticky ending. I love her.
I
want to see her run ragged with all the old dudes that are left. That's what I want. Like,
you mean like helping Sansa set up her new kingdom in the north? Because I don't think that girl is ever leaving the north if she ever...
Lyanna's not leaving the north.
And just letting her run roughshod over all the old dudes that are left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she'd rather be in the north than be a Dark Phoenix.
You said that last week.
She's AOC in the North.
Can't use the same joke 2 weeks in a row, Vader.
You're welcome. Welcome to the chat.
I get new material.
Our last couple scenes. One, I got really scared. I got really, really scared because they went back to everybody sitting around the fire and they asked for somebody to sing. And I was like, God, you, if Ed Sheeran walks in right now, I'm going to.
No, but it turns out Podrick is good at everything.
Podrick is like the jack of all trades, dude.
But I really honestly, I'm being completely honest. I honestly got scared that there was going to be a really bad cameo that was going to happen all of a sudden with that scene.
Introducing Taylor Swift.
Oh God, I might have flipped my lid at that one.
She walks out.
I probably would have been like, forget Game of Thrones. I'm not watching anything else. I don't care how it ends.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings flashbacks, did anyone feel like that scene when Pippin is singing to the Lord of Gondor, when he's singing and the Gondor is eating in the battle of Ogrimmar or whatever the hell that city is where they're trying to retake the city back from the orcs?
He's creepily eating his tomatoes.
I kind of got like that little vibe a little bit, that sad overture of impending doom, so to speak.
Well, and that's exactly what that setup was, because it showed everybody marching out to get ready for the battle. Yep. And you're just like, the whole scene you're watching, like going, okay, that person's dead. And that person, like just that, that's what it was setting up. It was setting up that this battle is going to be our first big wave of death. Like, if you thought the Red Wedding was something, this is going to be the first episode where it's going to be like, there's going to be some massive heartache in terms of the deaths that happen.
Do you think they win or lose? I mean,
Esper87 in the chat.
Exactly.
Either a writer for the show or he ships them at one point. He says, I'm pretty sure they lose at Winterfell next week and are forced to retreat. Then the Night King goes to King's Landing and unleashes doom. Remember that prophecy Danny saw at the House of the Undying where the throne room is broken, snow falling into it. He says he thinks the Night King will replenish his army at King's Landing. And his dragon destroys the city and the castle.
So,
that's going to have to be soon. We have, what, 4 episodes left?
No. We have 10 episodes this season.
We have six.
Was it six?
No, eight. So it was six. Eight. Yeah, six plus
seven
two,
last
eight.
Year and six this year.
Okay. So, yeah.
All I know is they mentioned the dragons a couple times saying, oh, yeah, that's going to work, but they don't mention the fact that the freaking dead army has
they know that, though. Bran knows. Bran's brought it up to
them. Oh, yeah, Bran knows. Yeah. Okay.
The last episode, the one that knocked down the wall.
It knocked down the wall. And last episode, Bran told him, when you guys hear last week's episode, when it pops up on YouTube and Stitcher and iTunes or over at malice-corp.com, what I always set up these podcasts with is a little intro of clips of sound from the episode prior. And that's one of the clips that pops up is Bran talking about, like, you've lost your dragon. The wall is broken. The White Walker, like, he throws it right in Dany's face as soon as she comes into Winterfell.
Lost your dragon. They have your dragon. That's what it was. Because he tells her that they have the dragon.
Yeah. So,
basically, you saved the day, but you screwed everyone as well.
Yeah,
kinda. She did. They don't get through that wall.
Well, and that's the thing too, is Bran brings up when they're putting the plan together, and Bran's like, "I need to be bait," and that's one of the things is like, okay, is Bran surviving through this? He has to, I would think, because he's the one fortune telling everything for him. But who knows? Mm-hmm. Theon definitely. Theon's going down because he's putting himself right in the line of fire.
He's going to go down a hero, just like Jaime. Yeah. He's going to die defending Sansa or something. I don't know.
But he even brings up, because they said they got to take the Night King. They said, can you kill him with dragon fire? We'll kill him with dragon fire. And Bran's like, we can try. We don't know if it works.
It's
never been tried before.
Yeah, which is basically saying, we don't know if it works. So then we get Jon and Dany in the crypts. John tells Dany that he's a Targaryen. And what did you guys think? Did you get the response that you thought you'd get from Dany, or did
I get exactly the response I thought I'd get from her?
Mm-hmm.
I immediately thought she's going to think, "Wait, that means you're the heir. Damn it! Now I'm going to have to kill you."
Or yeah, I work together, or you know.
Well, no. First, the first response was Marion. The first response was, "Come on, come on, look at who's telling you this. Your best friend and your brother. I mean, yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, she's deny it. And that speaks to her side of being a woman. And I hate to say this, but a woman's first instinct is to want to deny what's hard to hear. It's to try to rationalize and find that reasoning of, okay, how can I make this work? Because I don't want my bubble, my good bubble we have going to burst. So we're going to try to rationalize this. He rationalizes back and she's now stuck in a corner and she has to go, okay, what do I do now? Because I have feelings for this guy, but now you're screwing my ultimate goal again. So what do we do now? And then the battle comes and it's all up in the air.
Figuratively and literally, yes.
I think that she is genuinely sprinting through the steps of grief right now. She started mm-hmm. with denial. She immediately got mad. If we had, you know, if the battle hadn't started, she would have started trying to bargain somehow. Mm-hmm. She has just admitted she loves a guy she changed her entire life's plans for, thinking, okay, we're putting my stuff on the back burner right now, but that's still my stuff and that's still going to happen. And he just mm-hmm. said, that's my stove. So,
yeah. But he didn't even state he wanted the Iron Throne. She's immediately now putting him in the threat category, but he doesn't want that. I don't think he really wants that.
That's the other thing. The battle interrupts them. I was waiting for him to say, like, I abdicate. I don't want the throne.
Because he never really wanted to rule. I don't think he even really wanted to rule Winterfell, but he was going to because it was going to be the best option, you know, to obviously to get Ramsay or whatever off the throne. But then Sansa took over and it worked. So he's always, I think, willing to not play second fiddle, so to speak, but when it comes to rule or fight, he'd rather fight. He's like Jamie.
Since we also brought up, you know, kind of like, you know, flashbacks and like symbolisms and all that stuff, I believe it was season 2 or 3, when John's back at the wall and he's talking with Maester Aemon up there and he's like, a Targaryen alone in the world is a terrible thing. So there's kind of that, some of that, you know, to me thinking about that and that whole semblance kind of thinking into it, like, yeah, you know, here Dany, you know, thinking she was the last Targaryen mm-hmm. and then just coming to terms thinking like, oh crap, you're one too.
And you're my brother.
Yeah.
No, my nephew. Yeah.
Nephew.
Oh, well, and so, I love that. That didn't even seem to be a factor for either one of them.
No.
That was the last thing on their mind.
But yeah. Once again, same thing. Only people that can ride dragons are Targaryens. And when she's trying to throw that, like, well, look who's telling you this. All you have to do is look at, like, who rode a dragon? You just rode one with him. Of course it's true. So, Ruru2 brings up that the Dragonfire does not work on the White Walkers, because they were able to freeze out the flames when they killed the dragon, when they killed Viserion.
Dragons worked pretty good when they were surrounded, though.
Yeah.
They came around, and they were taking out a lot of them.
They'll take out a lot of them, but
they got Viserion with a giant ice spear.
Yeah, and then and this is the Night King is a Targaryen since he can ride a dragon. That's what the indication was.
Or
there.
Now that it's an undead dragon, negate that.
I would think it could be a reasoning for it because he's the main control of the Esper. Mm-hmm. Also brings up, you can see in one of the trailers that Dany's at Dragonstone. She's standing in front of the fireplace there, so that's why they think that they retreat after they lose Winterfell. Which once again, I bring up, I still think that they're getting into the crypts, killing everybody in the crypts, and they're going to have to
There's two options. You've got that option where they flee and they have to retreat, or they miraculously win somehow. The Night King skirts around Winterfell and they're left as the defense system in the back. And now, and the rest of them flee to King's Landing to fight the battle there. There's two options. It could go either way.
And that's what Ruru2 brings up to rebuttal what you were saying about the dragons working well. They work on the whites. They work on on the cannon fodder. They don't work on the White Walkers. The White Walkers are completely the generals, the ones that are
how
the
many
Night King.
White
and the
Walkers are there versus
six,
white?
I think five or six.
Yeah, we've seen a handful of them. I consistently think of them as the four undead horsemen, but I'm pretty sure there's more than four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good battle at the castle I hope they don't pull a Lord of the Rings where they find the weak spot and do something with that. If they cross over like that, I'm done.
Oh yeah, that would really suck. You mean like Gondor the defense of Helm's Deep? With
you're going to see one White Walker running through with. The...
Yeah. God, that was so
kill that man! Yeah. Kill that one! Oh my
God! I loved it. But it was so
That's where you cut in next week, and you put in the scene with Ryan Reynolds at Deadpool. And he said, "That's just lazy writing."
Yeah. No. If you haven't watched the TV talks before, we call them WTF writer moments. So,
yeah.
But that's the episode this week. What we didn't ask, because every one of us but Super were here last week. So, Super.
Yes.
Who's going to be on the Iron Throne at the end of the season?
Oh, sorry. Iron Throne at the end of the season?
Mm-hmm. Gut reaction.
Dragon.
Do I get to know what anyone else said last week? No, I don't.
We all said Jon Snow. We all said Jon Snow. So. Yeah.
Okay, good. Then I'm not going the same route you guys went. I am going to say Danny at the end.
Okay.
Danny walks away at the end.
The only reason I said Jon Snow is they said the ending is bittersweet, and I couldn't see anything being more bittersweet than the boy that they thought was a bastard ending up being,
on a throne he doesn't want. Yeah.
Exactly. My next choice was going to be Arya in the face of someone.
See, I think Arya's dying now that she's been able to do it. I think she's dying.
She's
You're going horror movie rules?
I'm going horror movie rules on this one.
She's
done
the circuit, yeah.
All I know is the very last scene in the show, in the last episode, whoever ends up on the Fire and Thorn, it just needs to be them sitting, the camera panning back, and then done. That's how you have to end it.
Yeah. Just as long as they don't do like a Sopranos where it just goes dark. what happened?
Well, and here's the other option. Do you want them to do a Lord of the Rings where there's like super extended final? Like, here's how it, Super Breakfast Club ending for everyone.
Well, Esper brings up another before we sign off.
Style ending where it's like the crazy music plays, and you got Tim Curry narrating the scene, and it's like it could have gone this way, or it could have gone.
Communism was just a red herring.
But here's where it really happened. That's what I want.
All right, before we sign off, Esper says there's something magical about the crypt. Maybe the White Walkers can't go in there or something. They have been emphasizing it too much, and they say there's stuff about it down there. So that's to rebuttal what I was saying about them getting into the crypt. So, and Are You for Dinner says the last episode was going to end with Bran waking up in a bed from his fall. Oh God, if they do that, if it was all a dream, I'm done.
It's straight. That's Ate You for Dinner, not Are You for Dinner. Come on now.
Ate You for Dinner. Yeah. Ate You for Dinner.
You said Are You for Dinner.
I don't know. It says Ate You. So, however I said it. I say things wrong all the time. Have you guys not learned this yet? It's 3 years of us podcasting.
You have a hard time reading names, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about where you can follow everybody. Since you're giving me the most lip, where can we follow you, Masonic Vader, outside of this cast?
You can follow me on Twitter at Masonic Vader. You can also follow me on PlayStation Network at Masonic Vader 71.
Nice. Super, where can people follow you outside of this cast?
Well, definitely not as many places as you can follow Masonic. I'm much easier to follow. Just follow me on Twitter at SuperuvianNut and also on Instagram at SuperuvianFreak.
Okay.
Lots of good times to be had on Twitter.
Yeah, it's funny. She actually has less places to follow but has more followers.
I do. Yeah. I get a lot of people coming to talk to me on Twitter about all kinds of nonsense.
Rubbing it in. Thank you very much.
And Icy Zero, where can people follow you?
At Icy Zora on Twitter, Instagram, and PlayStation Network.
Okay. And Mind Freak.
you guys can follow me at Twitter at MindFreakMLG. You can also follow me right here on Twitch at twitch.tv/BTVMindFreak. Streaming's coming back 2 weeks' time, guys. Counting it down.
Awesome. So with this channel, we have the Game of Thrones cast on Sundays. We have wrestling on Wednesday. And every Friday I get hit by a bottle.
I saw a ghost. I really did.
And on Fridays we have the All Things Nerd podcast. And that was the White Walker attacking me all of a sudden with that bottle. Yeah, so that's the
Are his eyes turning blue?
No.
What's going on? My eyes have always been blue.
Actually, my eyes have always been blue. All Things Nerd, every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here on the Twitch channel as well. Make sure to check out any of these podcasts on Spotify, on Stitcher, on iTunes, or head over to the main website, which you see written below at malice-corp.com. You can find us on Facebook under groups for the All Things Nerd podcast to talk with us. And look us up on Discord. There's a Malice Corp server for that and everything. But yeah, head over to malice-corp.com. While you're there, if you want to support us, if you're going to be purchasing something from Amazon, click on the Amazon link while you're there, and we get a little bit of help from that. Or if you wanted to support us here, if you have Twitch Prime, that means you have Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, it means you have Twitch Prime, which means you can click up above, subscribe to the channel. It's free to you, but it does help us out, and it helps us kind of work on all the stuff, like me not getting hit over the head with bottles.
So if you want to pay for that,
a bottle that finishes the job. All right.
If you want to follow me, you can follow me at two places, either at All Nerd Podcast on Twitter, or at on Twitter at @mest_malicecorp, or on Instagram at @mest5150. Oh, I'm talking super quick now that I'm afraid of something else falling on my head. But yeah, thanks guys.
They're right behind you.
You keep nerding on.
For a live decapitation. Yay.
No. You guys keep nerding on, and we'll see you on the other side of the wall.
Hopefully.